Hey everybody, it's your old pal Mitch Halleck, producer of Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con and CT GamerCon, both happening at Mohegan Sun. And I just want to let you know, if you're not following us on the almighty social network, you're missing out on a bunch of stuff. So you can follow me on Twitter at It's Terrific-Con. That's ITSTERRIFICON, It's Terrific-Con. And if you're into gaming, make sure you check us out on Twitter at CT GamerCon. That's CTGAMERCON. And as always, you can look for us on Facebook at Terrificon and CT GamerCon, and we're even on Instagram. So do me a favor and follow me there. Plus, check out my brand new show on YouTube, Mitch and Ed's Excellent Adventure, where we go every 2 weeks and look back at the things you love, TV, movies, toys, and more. That's Mitch and Ed's Excellent Adventure. Now sit back and get ready for another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. Thanks. You're listening to Terrific Con presents the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to everything you love. That's comic books, TV, movies, collectibles, and more. Brought to you by Mitchell A.S. Halleck, the producer of Terrific Con, the world's greatest comic con every summer at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. Join Mitch and his special guest, Jerry Ordway, and his pals all across the comic fandom as they talk about the things you love. Now, sit back, get ready, and listen to today's episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. Today is...
Is it August. April 5th or 4th?
I said August.
Yeah, it's not August.
I'm way off. It's April 4th, and we're at the Colony Grill, not now Arlington, Virginia, but in Fairfield, Connecticut. Jerry's here. I'm here. We were just going off about movies. So why do you think didn't do so well? No, Shazam is... Nobody knew it was coming out.
I mean, I don't know. I mean...
What do you think about... Remember we were talking about how they showed Wonder Woman? Now we can say it because it's over now. Yeah. But they showed Wonder Woman in the trailer.
In the bar.
I'm like, well, there's the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that? An act of desperation?
Maybe. I mean, it's like when they were doing when we saw Black Adam.
Yeah.
That whole lead up to Black Adam.
Was gonna be in it.
The whole lead up, was like, oh, don't forget, and, you know, The Rock saying, don't forget to stay.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a special teaser. I mean, when you're selling your movie based on the teaser, at least they didn't do that with Shazam, but it clearly was the last-minute thing. Think about it. You're just saying about the next Guardians of the Galaxy. Disney does a great job tickets are going on sale all that stuff.
Yeah.
There was nothing of like that for the Warner
Brothers.
They
did announce it for Shazam, but it was so under the radar. It's the tickets are on sale now. I was like, what?
They don't do any build-up.
No.
You know, maybe that has to do with discovery and budget cutting.
Well, they'll be advertising the next Fast and Furious picture, too, next week, probably. Tickets are on sale now.
Yeah.
They make so much money the weeks before the show.
Well, they can also predict the weekend.
Yeah.
So they can predict
they already know they got a couple hundred million in the bank.
Based on how much money is spent in advance.
Do you think there's no chance that he'll ever do Shazam 3?
No. I don't know.
You think James Gunn would feel bad for him and say, hey...
It's not about feeling bad. Here's what I think could... To me, the logical step is, and I don't know what their plans are, but the logical step would be to incorporate Shazam, whether it's Zach Levy and the other team, into one of the supergroups like a Justice League or a JSA, you know?
Yeah.
That would be my guess, is that you incorporate them in, and then maybe you try again, you know, with the... Because, I mean, the movie, I still defend it. It was a good movie.
Yeah. I had no problems with it. I was like, wow, this is a fun time at the movies.
And it's a shame
went a little long, but not that much. You could have cut it 10 minutes out.
But it's a shame that they didn't get to do their Mr. Mind story. But, I mean, I understand... You know, they write to whatever the...
I did have a problem with Zach Levi that I said to you before, that
Billy Batson seemed more mature and altogether as a teenager than when he transformed into the world's mightiest mortal.
Well, that's not
he seemed like a goofball.
Clearly
like,
not a problem you have in the comics because you can keep a kid young.
Right, forever.
You can't control, like...
He always seemed like he was still... Blue Beetle. Did you see the trailer?
Not yet, no. I saw
it yesterday. It looks like Greatest American Hero if it was Blue Beetle. Because he gets the suit, everyone's screaming, and he doesn't know how to control suit. And I'm like, didn't we just do that with Shazam? I mean, it's like a teenage kid getting this power or whatever.
I don't really have any opinion because I don't know enough about that version of it.
I just know Blue Beetle's the guy that hung out with Booster Gold. Yeah. That's all. But that's not the character.
No.
It's the one on the second version.
The one that came out of
Ted Kord.
Infinite Crisis, right?
Right.
Or was it
Ramirez? I don't know. It's a Hispanic thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool. Obviously, it's got an Iron Man kind of element.
It does. It does. It looks like Iron Man. Yeah.
But, I think there was some... I was looking on, I guess it was yesterday or today on Twitter, and James Gunn was addressing superhero fatigue. Superhero movie fatigue. And his point was, I think, totally valid in that... You can't just do like a big spectacle. You have to care about the characters.
Yeah.
In other words, like it still has to have an emotional element, which is true going back to Superman.
Yep.
You know, the first Superman movie doesn't work without the emotion of him with his parents, him with Lois Lane. I mean, that's the kind of the core of those movies. It's not guys flying.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's cool to see the flying stuff. It's cool, but it still has to have an inherent drama and, you know, you have to say something with the characters. They're not just action figures.
Right. That's what Black Adam was just all action.
It was an action figure
movie. No story, no heart.
There was no subtlety, nothing.
Nope.
You know, I feel like we were talking about Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I think Ant-Man had it. But maybe it didn't have enough of it to connect.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
There were stakes involved.
I still think it was an interesting take, and it was a good way to build out.
I told you the trailer had a better story than the actual movie.
Because it made more...
They showed he was being tempted by, like, the devil saying, I can give you back all those years you lost in prison and with your daughter. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting story. None of that's in the final cut.
Yeah, and I mean, sure, that you have to, like with Shazam, they cut Billy Batson stuff. Clearly, they did.
Yeah, because that kid wasn't on screen for about 5 minutes.
There must have been, like, more subplot with him and his mother or him with connecting.
Or aging out. I mean, I think that was the hype.
So, I mean, that's the problem. And they did that. This happened, you know, again.
There was more with Freddy in Shazam 2 than there was with Billy.
But Freddy was kind of the breakout. The actor was kind of the breakout star of that first one.
But it's not his movie, though.
But Freddy's integrated and harder to cut because he's in the Shazam scenes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was thinking of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
You know, because Green Lantern, the extended version that's on Blu-ray... is a far superior film.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has more emotion.
His family.
It has the emotion with his dad and all that stuff that they cut down to the bone. And the filmmakers generally don't have a choice because at that time...
You got runtime.
The studio wanted, you know, two hours.
Cut. Yeah. So you get more showtimes in
and
there.
And the same is true Batman and Superman. The longer cut...
Is a better movie.
Totally sells Lex Luthor manipulating for years.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't get that sense of it as much, the fact that Lex is behind the scenes and everything.
Yeah.
You lose it by cutting it down, and it's not something that the filmmakers probably like.
What about the Justice League? The 4-hour cut versus the 2-hour cut.
Yeah, I mean, the Snyder cut could have been 3 hours if it was theatrical.
Can you say that about any movie? Can you say Superman Quest for Peace?
I don't feel like...
Is a better movie if you had extra scenes?
No. I mean, you have if you're cutting good stuff, because you have to hit it, runtime is different than, you know, like... A good example is Zack Snyder's Watchmen.
Yeah.
The theatrical cut of Watchmen is decent. The director's extended cut is too much.
Oh, is it?
Did you ever watch
it? I think I did. Was that the one with the animated pirate stuff in it?
Yeah. The director's cut goes on way too long, and it's too reverent to a comic book as opposed to being a movie. Because a movie is different than a comic.
Yeah.
A comic, you read at your own pace. In the case of Watchmen, you read it over the period of over a year because of, 12 issues.
Yeah.
So, longer doesn't mean better, but sometimes if you lose a subplot that's got heart, yeah, you know, that's something that would be like added value for the audience to me. Like in Green Lantern's case, it gives you more empathy
about
for
Hal Jordan
yeah, rather than, oh, the guy's just a jerk. You know what I mean?
That's how it came off. Yeah.
You get like the fact that he was, you know, he wanted to be a pilot because his dad was a pilot. Other level of something. So in a way, the studio is not going to cut the Green Lantern Corps stuff because they've already committed the budget to that.
Yeah.
And that's what they should have cut.
I really thought it should have been the first movie, just him.
Yeah.
Then at the end, he finds out there's a Green Lantern Corps. Then number two, you should have had, oh, this is the bigger universe.
Yeah, they tried to bite off too much. And then,
they put all of it in one movie, which was like, yeah, way too much.
I mean, for whatever people think of the Avengers being split into the two movies, the Thanos stuff.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
Because you can do emotional stuff within the framework of both of those movies. There's great emotional scenes in both those movies that kind of like are heart-touching.
That would have worked in a two-hour.
If you tried to do a three-hour version of both of those combined, you would just get like snapshots or, you know, like little snippets. So I think that's the key. The first Shazam movie worked out of the box because it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was a slightly different take. But you know, you had fun at the theater, right?
Yeah,
you didn't
have a
preconceived notion or whatever. I mean, the second one lands in a different time, too. And I said that, you know, if you look at the John Wick making $70 million in the opening weekend, it's kind of like the 90s where you had the really violent Punisher and Lobo and Wolverine stuff versus trying to do something that was a little more human-scaled.
Yeah.
You know, we were always swimming upstream with the
book. Did they come to you and say when you were doing the book, can you put more violence in this thing?
No, but the wave is that the comic stores weren't going to buy it because it wasn't considered cutting edge or gritty.
Yeah.
Everything had to be grim and gritty.
Yeah. You know, that's when everybody had those big guns.
You had to put a jacket on somebody,
too. You had to put a leather jacket. You had to give them a gun the size of a Buick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the gun had to be bigger than a human being.
Yeah. That was Cable. That was all that Rob Liefeld stuff. He had that massive...
And I mean, it's to me, that's always been pandering.
Crazy.
I mean, it's true even in the Return of Superman stuff, which I wasn't part of, is that Superman comes back and he suddenly got a big gun. He's in the black costume and he's got the big gun.
That's true.
You know, and it's kind of funny. It's just so much part of that time. You have to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Just like watching, I mean, if you ever watch an old movie.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that was a good movie, or there's a bad movie, or I don't get it.
Yeah.
So much context is involved in when that thing was done and what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so you think about like a 1960s comic that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby or whoever was doing. If they were reflecting the time, that comic kind of owes its tone to the fact that there were student protests and you had Vietnam going
on. Russians
and you had
going to space.
Yeah, you had the space race and stuff. So that's all important context that, you know, you don't get if you're watching something 50 years later.
No.
You know? Like, I was just watching last night, they had Criterion had a sale on their Blu-rays.
Yeah, which one?
And I picked up, I actually picked up a couple of interesting things. One was The Man Who Knew Too Much, which was the Alfred Hitchcock.
Jimmy Stewart, yeah.
No, the 1930s one.
Oh.
It was a British one. And previously there was just a really crappy, like a DVD, one of those, you know, 99-cent DVD shitty things.
Transfers,
So Criterion actually found a good print and restored it. And it's really interesting, again, within the context. When you watch it, the context is 1934.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the rise of
Hitler
and European stuff. It's set in England, but it's... It's got elements where you go, okay, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
It's political, but you kind of are removed from that in a way. So it's enhanced if you know history, because even though it's not important in the movie's context, you get a sense of it. Just like I said, with the superhero comics in the 60s, the X-Men and the mutant stuff all comes out of the fact that people were, you know, both the U.S., and Russia were exploding bombs on islands.
Right.
You know, and they were like, oh, the radioactive fallout's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So Stan Lee and Jack Kirby came up with the science fiction.
I always think of that in the 80s. 80s, you have the X-Men were huge. in pop culture. Remember the whole Vampire Lestat stuff?
Yeah.
That was
and
huge.
That's like a gay subculture.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a reason why, because in the real world that we lived in,
it was very
you had
suppressed.
AIDS going on, yeah, yeah. You had a lot of like sexual tension going on, so the mutants plugged right into that whole world.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Kevin Smith said, if you watch X-Men 2 and substitute the word gay for mutant,
right.
It still plays because it's like, why did you tell us you were a mutant? Why did you tell us you were gay?
Right.
It's the same story. Yeah. Like the parents are like, well, is there anything you could do so you can stop being a mutant, or you can insert the word gay?
Right.
And it was like the same story.
No, and that, I mean, I think that's the cool thing about comic concepts is that they can find their relevance in different eras.
I mean,
Superman doesn't exist for as many years as he does without being able to find a hook into every...
So what's the world? You said earlier we were talking about what's going on in the world now. The 50s, you had Invasion of the Body Snatchers, communists were every corner, don't trust your neighbor, rat people out.
Right.
So what's going on in the world now? Distrust against the government.
Yeah, it's distrust everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very
it's like
much
the X-Men or not X-Files.
It's very much like the McCarthy era in a way, because you also have more. I think you have more disinformation.
More tension going on.
More tension. Yeah, you can't, you know, have your Thanksgiving dinner without getting into an argument with somebody or whatever.
Do you really know your neighbor?
Right.
What's he spying on you?
I mean, that's always been true.
No, the spy balloons are shooting down. Remember the UFO stuff?
Yeah.
It's all the U-2 planes. It's the same kind of craziness.
But it is nuts, isn't it, to think about we go through cycles. History does repeat.
I don't think people realize it until it's there. They go, wait, we've already seen this movie.
Well, here's the funny...
They already did this.
What's kind of funny is if you...
When's World War III start?
Well, let's hope not. But, I mean, you realize that the seeds for what happened now or what has been happening for the last 20 years kind of started with the Bush-Gore election, you know, with like, shenanigans that were pulled.
Oh, with the dimpled chads?
Yeah.
Because before, when I was a kid, you never questioned an election.
No.
That's just the way it was.
And the thing was... Either side would accept it because that's the norm.
Yeah, Dewey beats...
And in 2000, they didn't accept it. And you look at the same cast of characters, like Roger Stone was the one who led the so-called white shirt protests, you know, to have the Supreme Court decide.
Overturn the election.
Well, they decided what was going to be counted and what wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, which is... That was the beginning of it to me.
Yeah.
And you know it when you read back on it, and you read about how think tanks, you know, start controlling public opinion and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we're ruled by money, you know? I mean, the richest people, it's not very much different than the old days of having the guy who was the mayor of the town.
Yeah, the Robert
who
Barons.
Had the biggest biggest business.
Yeah, boss Tweed.
Except that nobody's
that.
Got loyalty to their areas either.
Nah.
You know?
Nah.
And at least in the old time, like if you had a giant company in a town, they employed people... And they were they had roots in that area.
Yeah, geographically.
Once you have a global kind of worldview, nobody's local, you know?
We live in a James Bond world now.
We
remember
do.
The world is not enough?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy that was like the Rupert Murdoch guy
who was
in charge of the media.
Yep.
But right now, Bill Gates is buying up farmland.
Right.
Amazon, Jeff Bezos is trying to buy real estate. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
They're buying up houses. So if you want to buy a house, pretty soon you go to Amazon and buy a house.
Right.
And they're buying farmland. So it's like they've already owned all the commerce.
Well,
they're buying everything now. They're
in the housing crisis in 2007, one of the things that I remember thinking was that as people were going under and the houses were going into foreclosure, investment companies were buying up the houses.
Yeah.
And what happened after that was the rise of the timeshare or the, you know, like the, where you'd rent a house over, you know, like, it was kind of like the, what was the name of the companies? There were like, there were a bunch of different ones.
Right now there's a company called BlackRock that's buying up tons of real estate.
But I'm saying, so basically you've taken real estate out of the home, out of the hands of individuals. You've put them in the hands of giant money concerns.
Yeah.
There's your landlords.
Yeah, pretty
much.
And
I remember thinking at the time, because I was reading about that at the time, thinking like, who's buying these, you know, these properties from the banks? They're buying them on pennies on a dollar, right? As long as they paid off the taxes and whatever, they would buy these bad mortgages and own these houses so they can rent them out.
Yeah. No, but I just remember that far-fetched villain that had everything, and he was like, what else could he possibly own?
Every time I think of
that, with a Persian cat in the background.
Well, do you remember that?
Hello, Mr. Bond.
One of my favorite in rewatching the Simpsons episodes, Albert Brooks was Homer's boss.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize he was working for like a James Bond villain.
Yeah.
And then like he's, you know, trying to do something, and in the background you see the laser on James Bond.
Yeah. Is that the Grimes guy?
You're such a good such a good one. Because your perspective is always important, you know.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I was thinking of getting back into comics, is you're in a situation now, which is kind of funny. Like, last week, Disney basically let go or eliminated
Perlmutter. Perlmutter. Yeah.
Who was entrenched at Marvel Publishing.
For years.
And this guy was such a, I want to say, jerk.
Yeah.
He was such a penny
pincher.
He's the
one that did the thing at the FF that time. But he was mad about Fox, so he made him cancel the book.
But he's the guy who made... He also would... He limited the amount of toilet paper they could have.
Yeah.
He had him in an
office.
Counted
the staples,
with
I heard.
One bathroom.
Counted the paper clips, that
but
guy.
But it was crazy.
Yeah.
This guy was... And so, good riddance to him.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, in all the stories, it was Marvel properties. They don't even mention comics.
No.
You know, it's like... Comics are what they do.
Yeah, no, but they were all.
They were
about
basically. They're like an IP farm.
Yeah.
An IP farm. How impersonal to refer to it that way. But that's unfortunate. That's how.
Don't worry about the stories. Just make the characters out there.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But he's gone now.
I know.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't think there's anything bad about it because he was entrenched and he was only there because. Didn't he leveraged his Toy Biz
guy? Yeah,
but I mean, he leveraged 90s. He owned Toy Biz, and basically became the biggest Marvel shareholder when the bankruptcy happened.
Yep, in the mid 90s.
So I mean, this was a guy who bought up a depressed property because they kind of helped depress it.
Yeah,
because they flooded the market. They made bad decisions.
I know.
Marvel bought what? Panini.
Panini stickers, they bought Skybox.
But I'm saying they bought all these companies and then they'd wind up having to sell them for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Oopsie.
It's almost like the corporate, you know, that type of corporate takeover. And this guy tried. He tried to force a member, a very crazy guy, onto the Disney board in the last several months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there was a friend of his who was an activist investor who wanted a seat on the Disney board because, of course, right? And when that failed, I think this guy wound up being collateral, which is great.
Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah. Because Bob Iger probably is like, okay, bye.
We're out of here. We finally got our chance to get him out.
But, I mean, what has it got to do with comics? It has to do with, like, does Marvel have a budget to make books?
Yeah.
You know, does DC exist in some form that they're going to continue to make comics?
Did you see that Quesada's got a job at Amazon now?
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah. So they got these comic guys with ideas.
Well, you got Mark Millar at
Netflix. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's nice that somebody's bankrolling comics.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, you know, they don't. You have to understand that when you complain about Marvel or DC, it's still a business.
Yeah, I know.
And a lot of decisions that are made are not their choice.
No, I just realized after reading so many books, so many years, that I go, wow, it's the same cast of characters just being spewed out again and again and again and again. And I get it because you don't want to bring a new idea to the corporate business because they're going to own it.
Yeah.
But it's really like, oh my God, it's the same toys in the same sandbox for the last 50 years. Well, look, it's Kang, it's Galactus.
Right.
There's nothing.
But again, would you ever thought that Kang would be in a movie?
No.
No, I mean, this stuff is like crazy to an old person.
I know. I sit there and go, Kang is a big deal?
I mean, we were discussing that with the idea of Ant-Man being in three movies. Even Shazam having two movies. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Blue Beetle.
I know, right?
It's kind of crazy. You can understand a Supergirl. You can understand Batgirl, those type of things.
Those are the main
because they're tied into
names, but obscurity. The Guardians of the Galaxy has got three movies.
No, I know.
Based on a book that no one likes.
But the great thing about it is that they made something of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Those movies exist
Avengers. I never would have thought the Avengers was Marvel's premier book. Yeah. I always think of X-Men or Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
It used to be Fantastic Four, then it shifted to X-Men. Avengers was always there.
I was a big fan of the Avengers.
I know, but I never thought it was like that was their key book.
Yeah.
Well, Justice League was good.
It's their Justice League because it had the main characters in it. So it makes sense. I mean, it's weird in a way that they basically haven't regrouped an Avengers because the Avengers was never specific to a lineup.
Yeah.
They had different lineups at different times.
I think Marvel's going to do that. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
But it's been years now.
And I mean, Kang is very tied into the Avengers.
Right.
Obviously, they're going to do another Avengers.
I see the trailer for Secret Invasion. Did you see that?
I did.
That's coming out in June.
I'm curious what whether this is like an end for Nick Fury.
Well, it says the last Nick Fury thing. So, I mean, he is 70-something years old.
I mean, good Sam for him. Jackson. He's played that character a long time.
Yeah, since 2008.
I mean, he brought a lot to it. You know, it wasn't the Nick Fury from the comics.
No, it was not.
But he brought a lot to it, and I think, you know, they did a lot of great stuff
with him. People love those stories, the last story.
Yeah.
The last adventure of Indiana Jones, last adventure of Captain Kirk.
Well, I remember Byrne, we used to talk about this, is the idea that when you do monthly comics, the first and the last stories are kind of always the easiest.
Yeah.
Because they're not hung up on stuff that happened before, necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, in doing a monthly comic, the idea is to keep the ball in the air.
Yeah.
Right?
So when you come
you don't get
the
an
air.
Ending. You just have to keep it in the air, and you have the illusion of change.
Yeah.
Like a monthly comic that was what we always talked about. It's the illusion of change. Uh-huh. So, you know, you put a new costume on a character, or you change their supporting cast, or something like that. That was the way, you know, you did the change wasn't really long-lasting.
No, I get it. Like Superman.
Well, I was just reading Action Comics.
I just got that.
And I like the storyline.
Yeah.
I think it took until this current issue to kick in for me.
Yeah.
It's like a Metallo storyline.
Yep. Did you see that, by the way, Philip Kennedy Johnson?
Yeah,
he's going to work at Marvel. He's doing the Hulk now.
Well, he was doing Alien for them.
Yeah, but now he's doing the mainstream guys.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Hulk. He's a good writer.
Yeah. But how long are they going to keep him in, like, the flavor of the month? That's all I say.
That always
seems
happens.
To be the last couple of years. It's like, oh, it's Scott Snyder. Oh, it's Donny Cates. Oh, it's
that's been a while.
Tyson.
It's been like that for a while.
Yeah.
It was like that in the 80s, too. There were people, like, who were big.
Yeah, your Millers, your Simons, and your Chaykins.
Well, they're kind of more perennials.
Yeah.
I think of guys like, like Mike Baron was big when he was writing The Punisher.
Yep. Dixon.
They own, like, real estate in different characters, but they get cycled out. Just like I did. I mean,
The Ordway books. It's the Simonsons.
You put your heart and soul into it, and then you're cycled out for new blood, and that's the way it's always been. But there's guys like even in the 80s that were like, oh, this is the new hot guy, and that person would write 5 books a month, and they would burn out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like basically they've used up their 5 basic story ideas or whatever.
Pretty much.
I mean, unless you create something that's lasting,
you
are thrown by the wayside. That's just the way it always has been, you know. It happens with artists, too.
You know that going in, though, right?
No, nobody expects it. You think you're going to be working for 20, 30 years.
And then you get 10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a long time, you know. I mean, I feel like I'm happy with, I never envisioned being able to do something for 40 or more years.
Yeah.
That's kind of nuts.
Chaykin is the only one I can think of, and Walt, too.
Yeah.
That still, like, consistently come up with new stuff, and they're like, oh, look, they're there.
But they're not necessarily in the midst of Marvel or DC.
No.
But they're still doing their stuff, and cool.
Right.
I mean, in the old days, there weren't, like, a lot of side markets to do
Claremont
stuff.
Is doing a book every month for Marvel for the X-Men. But it's like, oh, I pick it up because there's Chris Claremont. But I'm like, it's not like the 80s when it was like, you know, or Frank Miller.
Right. And good for
whatever they touch
I'm
was
glad
gold.
That Marvel still appreciates the fact that he basically put those characters on
pretty
the
much,
map.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the key, is that you don't really see that type of loyalty.
No, not really. Is there anybody in DC they've kept around for decades other than, like, maybe Geoff Johns and
Jurgens is still there.
Yeah.
I mean, Dan's going to, like... you know, they have to drag him away kicking and screaming or something.
No, but I'm trying to think of who else has been around that long.
Well, Marv is still occasionally pops
Marv
up.
Has hurt himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, pulled his arm or something like that. But, yeah, Marv. And...
I mean, there's other people that have been there a while. I just think everything is about comics is cyclical, and they do, people cycle in and out. I mean, I talked about it last time. There's that sense of, you know, how far removed from your from what's happening now are you?
Yeah.
Because I always use the example of Dick Sprang or something.
No, but I'm saying, when all those guys, Sprang, and were they all in their 30s? It seems to be like 30s is the magic time. When you're in your 30s, early 40s, that's like your most productive, prolific.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Sprang worked up until
No, but I'm saying the late 50s. His best work.
Everybody's got a prime. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're prime. Exactly.
Yeah. But
what was Byrne's prime, like 30s?
It depends. A lot of people love his X-Men era stuff. To me, he was
Superman.
At his peak in the in the 80s.
Late 80s with
through
Superman.
Through the early 90s. I mean, his Namor stuff is still fun. His West Coast Avengers.
She-Hulk.
Yeah. And it's not... I don't think it's... You know, it may be nothing more than just getting tired of doing commercial comics.
Yeah.
Like, John wound up jumping on stuff for Dark Horse and doing
2112 and all that.
You know, but that stuff is harder to sustain because once you stop doing it...
You think it's because maybe people are hungry? They need money? They need money
well, you
to
want
a bit of house?
Yeah. You know what the big thing is?
Outside forces that influence
when
your creativity.
When you're young, you want to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And I think proving yourself is like this gigantic motivator. You know, you
so
want to prove yourself.
That's why you're taking risks and you're doing more...
You're working harder than everybody else to get attention.
A name. Yeah. Noticed.
You want to be noticed. But I mean, it really is about...
And so once you're established, then you go on autopilot and that's when it starts to get
out. No, but I think that... I think life has got its peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
You know, you can have multiple peaks and multiple valleys.
They
want
to see how long you can keep it up.
But you can't... I mean, you can't sustain stuff once... I think time passes you by in a way. So I mean, you're part of. That's why I say like the Mike Barron or Chuck Dixon or any of these people. Me,
Starlin.
We own Starlin owns that specific era.
Yeah.
And in a way, once you've aged out of those eras,
there's no going back.
You're not really as relevant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're relevant to the audience
that
buys it.
What about Neil Gaiman, though? He's still relevant.
He got out of comics.
Oh,
I think that's
okay.
A key. I mean, Neil did a lot of DC stuff, obviously.
Yeah. And then he went
and
to
then
do
he
novels.
Went and started writing novels, and he's got a different career.
Yeah.
So he's not dependent on
so,
the
but if
peak
he comes
and valley.
Back and does a comic for an issue, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal because he's coming from outside comics.
Yeah. If you know, Stephen King.
He's always been a
Stephen
talented.
If Stephen King tomorrow came in and started writing comics, it would be a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's Stephen
King. Yeah, even at this stage, it would
he
be
brings
big
a pedigree
deal.
Of books like, oh, wow. What could he do?
But again, it's got like Stephen King's always going to be good. Neil Gaiman's always going to be good.
Yeah.
Chuck Dixon's always going to tell that story well. You know,
we got like Jeff Loeb, who did a lot of stuff but then left. And then when he came back, it was always him and Tim Sale.
Yeah.
Would do that little like mini series, and then they leave and come back. So it was always something
it's the key,
special.
The key is to be like you're not. He's not dependent on comics to make a living.
Right.
It gives you
a
different.
Treat.
Yeah. But it also is not like if, again, Jeff Loeb comes back and does something, he's not working with whoever is the guy who's available.
Right.
He's working with a specific chosen artist.
Yeah.
You know, which makes a big deal. That's a big difference, you know. Somebody said, we want to get you.
Like if Claremont Byrne came out tomorrow with a new book, it would be a big deal. Because it's like,
I think it still could be. It wouldn't be as big a deal. But it would be like if, for example, again, like... And I'm not trying to denigrate any artist or writer, but say you're a big name and you come in to do a special book, they're not going to just get whoever's not working at that moment. They're going to get their top talent.
Like when they had Frank Miller and Jim Lee do it.
It's like a preordained sales success.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the rest of us are at a disadvantage in a way because, I mean, I was always dependent on assignments. You know, someone gave me Lobo. I did the best I could on Lobo, but I had no control over it. That was work.
No, like look at Todd does when he does Spawn stuff.
Yeah.
He'll come out or do a couple books and leave. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal.
But I mean, the reality of it is if you can control your destiny, like Neil Gaiman or Jeff Loeb or whatever, if you can control that destiny, you're going to be better off
right.
than if you're in it for the long run, because you're in it for the long run. There's a point where they're going to, we don't give a shit about this guy. You know what I mean?
What about all those guys like Gardner Fox and all those guys that were there forever?
Yeah.
But like the 40s, they were there to the, or the 70s, right? Yeah. 80s yeah. maybe. Yeah. They were just like old dependable. You were like the Maytag repairman guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think
Steve Skeets just passed away. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
He died the other day.
Oh, that's too bad.
Really good a writer for Aquaman yeah. and Swamp Things, too, I think.
Well, he also wrote some Marvel stuff. Submariner or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it was 83, I believe.
I mean, the problem is, without sounding bitter,
yeah.
and honestly, I don't really care, water under the bridge, but there's a certain point, like with Gardner Fox and a couple other people, in the 70s,
yeah.
Roy Thomas hired them.
Yeah.
When, like, DC basically cut them loose, Roy Thomas sought these people out and put them on books.
Out of loyalty or...
Being a fan.
A fan, yeah.
It's like, I appreciate your work. You're my favorite writer when I was a kid or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's... You're basically going by the kindness of an editor.
Yeah.
You know? And you take it for that.
You
know, I've gotten work that way, too. You know, so, I mean, I get it. But I think it's harder. It's hard to. No one can maintain themselves as this hot commodity. No,
not forever.
You know. I mean, Frank Miller has done some groundbreaking comics, but Frank has, to me, as a writer, has done some different stuff.
Yeah.
But he's kind of tied to a specific kind of genre.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard boiled.
Yeah, the crime.
You know,
yeah.
him doing science fiction doesn't interest me as much. Not that it's. Not good,
no.
But everybody's kind of got their, you know,
niche.
Yeah, and what they are good at, or what they really understand, or whatever. Because it's all about conveying.
No, but think about that. Has some movies too, like James Cameron. He's the Avatar guy. Lucas was the Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
They never could tell another story
because
people don't want them to do
but
that.
But the thing is,
they probably I could. Think
neither of those, like, right? Those guys both. If you look at it, like Cameron. And Lucas, they both created their own empires.
Right.
They weren't for hire.
Yeah, but they were trapped.
So if they were for hire, they would possibly be old news.
Yeah.
In other words, like if they were dependent, here's the studio.
Yeah.
The studio's, you know, going to offer you a movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have to try to set up a film that you've created.
Right.
You're still at the mercy of the financing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to go through that period where you're no longer the guy that's number one on the
call list or whatever.
It doesn't make you a bad director, writer, whatever, but you just fall out of favor.
Well, like, look at the Richard Donner. He could have been the Superman guy, but he was just one and done.
But they fired him.
Yeah. I know. And then he went on to do others. The Lethal Weapon was his thing.
And he had a long career.
He did.
He had a career before Superman, right? And in TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's interesting. But again, everything is cyclical. You know? There's always somebody willing and able to come and do your job. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I think a lot of these guys...
The transition's hard, but,
they have to build their own little safety, their little world. Like, Rian Johnson's got all this, like, what's the Knives Out thing
now?
Yeah, yeah. He's that guy.
Yeah.
You know, Stallone was, like, the Rocky guy.
But that's in your favor. Yeah, you create your own little thing so you're not dependent on...
Going back to Shazam, Dwayne Johnson was hoping
he
would be the DC super guy.
Yeah.
I think ultimately that's what he was hoping to happen.
Well, he was trying to set himself up as the big villain of the DC universe.
Yeah, he was
going to
be the Kevin Feige.
Yeah, would have put him
DC.
In power of controlling some
that's
of the
what
other
I think
stuff.
His plan was.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
But
for
it still
like
comes
Chris
down
Nolan.
To whether people are going to pay money to see that.
Chris Nolan was the Batman and Superman guy for a bit, but he got out of it. And then it was Joss Whedon was going to be the Avengers Marvel guy. He got out of it. James Gunn is now the DC guy. I think they all look for these one guys to like, save everything, you know? I think it's a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I mean...
Everyone's watching you.
If you think about, like, especially with... I mean, James Gunn has taken a lot of heat. He has nothing that he greenlights
or the
other guy... He
hasn't made anything yet.
None of that will appear for a couple of years.
Yeah. Superman has come out until next year.
He's going to get blamed.
2025, actually.
Right, he's going to get blamed for whatever...
For the next 2 years.
There's decisions that are still above his pay grade. You know what I mean? You could be the head of a studio. You're still not controlling the money.
No.
And you don't control the stock.
No, I think it's funny, though. People are like, James Gunn's this, James Gunn. I mean, he hasn't done one movie yet.
You can go on Twitter, and every day you'll see what's trending is fire James Gunn and Peter Safran.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this is this doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah. No. I think they just ignore it.
Well, you have to, but it's hard to.
You can't obsess with that. You
know. No, it's hard to. But, all that does is it keeps those guys from engaging with actual fans.
Yeah.
Because
you don't want
why
to talk
would
to
you
somebody.
Put your time in?
Yeah.
But like, look at it at the Marvel stuff.
No, I honestly think that's why Lucas got out of the Star Wars business, because they were going after him so much. He's like, no matter what I do, they're going to criticize it. Yeah. So you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore.
Well,
and then
when he leaves, and people are like, oh George Lucas was still controlling this.
I saw a meme the other day that said, George Lucas makes prequels, and they show the fans screaming, Disney, George Lucas sells it to Disney. Disney makes things. Now the fans go, those prequels are the greatest things in sliced bread. It's like, oh, wait, when he was here,
you
criticized him. But now when he's long gone, oh, we need to get that guy back. I think that's what I think.
I'm looking at the King of Nerds, and I just had a flash.
What?
Because the King of Nerds has a newly grown mustache.
I do, yeah.
And I immediately, you know what I just realized?
Stanley.
No.
What?
Scotty.
I've grown my Scotty mustache now.
Yeah. You need to start talking with a Scottish accent.
I should. Well, I had the goatee going.
I can't do it.
Had the goatee going. I want to be evil Mitch.
Yeah.
But my wife said, get rid of it, because I look like somebody.
So why didn't she like the goatee?
She said I look like Scott Martin.
Oh.
And I didn't want to look like Scott Martin.
Ouch, sorry,
no offense
Scott.
To Scott Martin. But I was like, no. She's like, oh, my God.
See,
so
I was...
now I just have a mustache. I look like a chubby Inspector Clouseau, because it's all white.
I shaved yesterday. I had let it grow for a week. And I was like realizing how much white is in it. And I was
that's all
if
white.
If I grow that, I'm just going to look older.
No. We'll see how long this lasts. If I still have it by Guardians 3, it'll be a miracle.
Well, you know what? I was just looking at, did you see the Vince McMahon?
He's got the little mustache. Oh, does he?
Yeah. No. They showed a picture of him at the last thing, and like somebody was like, is he trying too hard? Somebody mentioned Clark Gable, and I said, you know, it's like more like Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
It's Wayne Newton trying to look like Clark Gable.
Oh, yeah. Or Billy Dee.
Or Howard Hughes.
Something like that. You used to have the evil Jerry Ordway goatee.
I had the mustache
for a long time.
I wore a mustache from
the mustache was creepy
from the 70s through about mid 80s.
Yeah, then you had the goatee.
Yeah,
it was like the evil.
And that
Jerry.
Was only a couple of years. I think 20, maybe 2011, 12.
All artists have that period.
13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And trust me, it's weird because I keep thinking I have hair in my mouth. I keep like touching it. Oh, wait, there's
well,
hair.
The good
in my
thing
mouth.
Is that you know you taste soup if you have it like 2 days
there's
later. You go,
too.
Yeah. That was good.
I didn't look too much like a creep.
I was like, clam chowder.
Yeah. The dog looks at me like, what the hell's wrong with you?
I was watching some movie, and it was one of the characters had this gigantic mustache. It was like a Sam Elliott type
of
thing.
Oh, the big one?
Really
Kurt Russell.
And I was thinking like, wow, you know, there's...
How many years does that take?
You can't... No, you... Well, it doesn't take that long. It's just that...
If he's hairy.
You're constantly getting it in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I had the mustache, I always kept it trimmed.
You got
so
trimmer in your mouth, yeah. Sam Elliott's got a good mustache.
Yeah. Some but I mean, you got to eat all your meals through straws.
You do.
Maybe that's what keeps them thin.
Have you ever watched?
Is that what keeps Sam
Kurt Russell in the Hateful Eight?
Oh yeah, that's
he's
a great
this
one.
He's got a massive mustache. I don't know how he grew that. He might just be a hairy little bastard.
What?
He might just be a hairy little bastard.
Yeah.
Some people can grow beards in an hour or two. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a couple weeks. It's that fair baby skin I have.
I can grow the mustache and the goatee really fast.
Really?
The rest of the beard takes a while.
Yeah, like Amish.
The sideburn part is
my
not
son
as...
can grow that Amish thing.
Yeah.
Like underneath. But
the chin
face.
Strap.
Yeah, the chin strap.
Chin beard.
It's like, oh, look, we're going to go churn butter and build a barn later. But there's that.
So what comics have you read?
I've been busy lately. I've been driving around the states. I haven't read anything. I picked up my books last Wednesday, and I went and moved my son on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I haven't done a thing since.
Have you been reading the Danger Street, the Tom?
No, you told me about that. I wanted to get him in because you told me Slam Bradley was in it.
No, that's the other one. That's the One Bad Day or so, whatever. It's like a Batman
But the Newsboy Legion was coming
the
in.
The Newsboy Legion and
all
the,
these old Kirby.
The New God stuff are also
in. Yeah, they're all in that.
Yeah. And the one in the
I was telling somebody
Danger
about that.
Street. It's
like,
good.
Really?
I mean, I don't know where
Is
it's going,
Mr. Miracle
but it's intriguing. All of those
characters. What about Nemesis?
The Creeper is in there, too.
What about all those weird one-offs? Remember the Manhunter
from
the 80s?
Yeah.
There was a character called Nemesis.
Right.
Remember him? Blonde hair?
I don't think he's in there, but there's
he
a lot of characters.
He teamed up with Batman, the Brave and Bold.
It's interesting whatever he's trying to do. There's another case, though. I liked Action, but I haven't picked up the main relaunch of Superman.
No, I just picked up Action Comics.
Nothing against the people. I just feel like I've been burned by trying to...
Speaking of Superman, I'm waiting to announce one of my guests, because he's supposed to be on Superman and Lois.
Yeah.
And I keep waiting for him to show up, but he hasn't shown up yet. And I'm assuming any day now, because they just had a bald guy last week. I go, is that going to be him? Have you been watching that show?
I have not watched. Lois, have you watched Gotham Knights?
No, I didn't watch one episode. I saw a commercial for it. They go, your father was Batman and he's dead. Now, how do you revenge? I go, wait, so it's Damien? I don't even know what the story is.
Well, see, I kind of feel like I want to see those.
But
I'm like behind.
Don't care.
I missed out on the last couple episodes of season two of Lois, Superman and Lois.
Oh, no. It was
I feel like it's holding me back from just jumping in.
It started off good, and then it quickly fell into like, oh, no.
Last season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got tedious.
Again, it's, you know, there's just so much stuff on.
Well,
I've been trying to work my way through stuff that I started. And
I started watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds again, because season two is coming out.
Yeah.
And I like Strange New Worlds. Yeah, that was a good show.
I've actually liked Picard.
Picard's been really, really good. In fact, I'm on the show.
And the Mandalorian's fun.
Mandalorian's fun. Got a lot of weird stuff going on.
They're kind of doing like their own little world building in there.
A little side story stuff.
This season,
yeah. I noticed that, because people are like, how come he's not in it much? I go, I think they're trying to build more characters.
They're trying to build a reason.
He'll be in it.
They're also trying to bridge, I think, the movies.
Oh, they're definitely doing backstory about the clone thing.
They're trying to do a bridge between, the...
What happened
The prequels, right?
Yeah.
Or no, the...
The sequel. Well, the Emperor's building, like, a clone
thing. Yeah, it happens after the...
It happens after it's 5 years after Return
of the
Jedi.
But it's like they have that space of bridging between what happens when the Force Awakens.
Yes.
So it's that.
Because that was 20 years after.
That part's been interesting, because it's like, oh, the Empire is gone.
The Empire's gone, but
the Empire's
still
there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think that's actually pretty interesting.
Well, it's stuff that Lucas probably never thought of. He was probably like,
but they probably did it in those books.
They did. I read the books for a long time, but then I stopped.
Books, the young
I stopped reading them because it got too much, and then they said, well, we're not going to use any of this. I'm like, what? You wasted all your years reading that
backstory. But those two books have been good. Those two series
shows
have been enjoyable.
What else is coming on? Oh, Last of Us ended. That was a good show.
Yeah, that was
I liked show. It. Didn't end the way I thought it was going to end, but
it
apparently
was
people tell me that's the way the video game ended.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, all right. It was a dark ending.
Yeah.
I was like, that's how he's she could save the world, but he doesn't give a shit. He's going to
save Well, he's protecting her.
Yeah, but it's like, that's the title. It tells you right there, The Last of Us.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think the interesting thing about that is fun that they've come up with a slightly different version or way of doing a zombie story.
Yeah, it wasn't Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which even that got tedious.
I mean,
that's coming back.
The zombies in The Last of Us are more like supervillains.
Yeah.
And the people are the bad guys, which is kind of realistic.
Well, The Walking Dead had that, but they kind of lost
definitely,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
It became more about the people than the zombies.
Did you ever read that, what was the name of the book? Made a movie with Viggo Mortensen.
Oh.
About an end of the world scenario.
Yeah, I was going to say The Postman, but that's Kevin Costner. Yes, I do know the story.
That book
is
really good.
It's Cormac McCarthy's.
Yeah. It's
The
really
Last
good...
Road, or something about The Last Walk.
Yeah, The Road.
The Road.
Yeah.
I think it was The Road, yeah.
Yeah.
He's out there with his kid, I believe.
I mean, that's the ultimate fear, is that breakdown of society.
Oh, it's happening
and
around
how fragile
us.
It is. Yeah. You never realized it was that fragile.
Oh, during the pandemic, I started seeing it when people would kill each other for a roll of toilet paper. I was like, we're not that far. Just turn the electricity off here and there.
No, yeah.
And people resort to tribal ways really fast.
Well, have you seen that? That's, I mean, in
it's
real
like,
real world.
Yeah.
People have been attacking infrastructure. Like
I saw this
in a couple places
in Norwalk trying to shut off the internet. Did
they
you
cut
see that?
The
they
fiber
cut the fiber
optic. 40,000 people affected.
Yeah, I saw that. But what was the point of that?
I think it's that people are trying to test the systems.
I was like, what is?
Because they did that with the power grid. There were
they were from
Atlanta. It happened in two places. I think it might have been also Texas or something.
And they're trying to hack in. I saw that too.
I mean, that's the difference between.
Just screw
with
stuff.
Yeah. Think about that.
Just to
you
bring
take
a
away,
society down.
Take away electricity.
And you're bad.
Take away food distribution.
Yeah.
And their hope is that everybody turns into an animal.
And for what reason?
Because they're anarchists.
Oh.
You know, just they, because also they people can. Are easy to control. I think when you're
looking for food and toilet paper. I serious God, I remember during lockdown, people were being assholes to each other. And I was like, wow, that didn't take too long. No. Literally like 2 or 3 days and people were being...
I still remember the first... Again, I was going to the store after going to the comic store on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right before everything got shut down. And I'm at Stop and Shop and people are like rushing around with carts piled high. And I'm like... I said, what, is there a big storm coming or something? What am I missing here?
No, it was like a big snowstorm.
Yeah.
I remember that. Remember we could go out certain days, you had to go certain hours in the morning. But I swear to God, when I talked to other people in other parts of this country, they were like, what?
That's because
I think where we lived was really strict.
Well, but a lot of those other areas, a lot of people died.
Yeah, I know, but here it was like, don't go out.
I mean, at least we were responsible.
Yeah, well, in hindsight, it's been 3 years.
No, and people are tired of it. I like
when we were in
Brooklyn, it was just funny and nobody's wearing masks cares. Or whatever.
I was in D.C. Nobody
it's still
was
out there.
Care. Yeah, no kidding, but...
That was what I was going to tell you before. We were talking about that eye drops causing...
Yes, the fungal infection.
People losing their eyes.
Yeah.
One of the things that was I just read about was, I think it was in the Times, that said that they think there's a component of repeat COVID infections.
Oh, really?
It weakens you to basic fungal infections that we normally fight off. Yeah. So I keep thinking, like, we really are at that. Like, is this the end of times?
Oh, please.
You know, nature's trying really hard to shake us off.
Nature's been trying to kill the people on this earth since it started. Floods, ice age, tidal waves, biblical proportions. But we keep coming back. My friend said it years ago, the human race is just a virus on
this earth. Did you see how huge those tornadoes were?
Yeah.
My God, those storms are terrible. I feel bad for anybody, especially if your whole town got flattened. That's kind of
nuts. Would it be a bad thing, though, if the human race got wiped off as I sit there petting my Persian cat? Let's start from scratch all over again.
I hate to say this.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
If everybody went...
No.
The problem
the
is
animals were the, only
the
ones
rich
left.
People are going to be the ones who are protected.
Not only for so long.
Yeah, but they're going to be protected.
That was in that movie 2012. Remember that? The rich people had the ark thing. They were leaving on it.
That's still going to be the case.
It is. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Everybody's going to die of something.
I'm surprised that you... Have you been reading any other stuff? Nothing?
I have. I just, at the moment, I can't think of anything. Yeah. It might be high on the allergy medicines, but I don't know.
I just read a science fiction collection of short stories that was kind of cool. I did a lot of shorts, you know, like it was compiled from the 30s through the 50s.
Trying to think, but nothing happens. Have I watched old stuff? I always end up watching. You know what I just heard an interview with? I've been telling people this for days. McLean Stevenson. Some guy did an interview with him 30 years ago, forgot about it. It was sitting on an audio cassette tape in his top drawer. He found it. It was a very candid one-on-one interview. Yeah. He swore. He told the whole backstory. Yeah. He found out why he left MASH from the horse's mouth. None of this here's what happened.
Right.
This is the guy who affected. Do you know how much he was making? And I don't remember what economic factors were, but in 1973, 74, and 75... Yeah. He said what his weekly salary was. And was that a lot of money? I'm going to tell you now. How much do you think a lot of money was back in 74?
You can tell me how much he got.
$1,750.
Yeah. No, I could believe it.
$1,750.
I believe it.
Is that a lot of money? It doesn't seem like a lot of money.
No, it wasn't a lot of money.
All right. So he said that was his money. Yeah. He had a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
NBC comes over. He's on a top 10 show.
Yeah.
They said, listen, you're one of the 20 people that replaced Johnny Carson.
Yeah, yeah.
If you come with us, we will give you a special once a year, like a variety show. That was the thing. And promises for 3 different TV series.
Right.
If they don't work out, we'll give you another one. Yeah. We're going to give you $1 million if you do this. You got to be exclusive.
Yeah, it's hard to turn that
down. He said, look, I'm going through a divorce.
Yeah.
I got child custody, child payments.
Yeah.
I got an agent that I give 10%. $1,750 is not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Somebody gives you $1 million, you know what you do? You take it.
But see,
and he took
it. For years, has been looked at as the bad guy.
He was looking at it. But when you listen to his story, you're like, well, who wouldn't have done what he did? And they were on the show for three. He was on the show for 3 years. The way the Screen Actors Guild contracts work, they did not get residuals for the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
So he only got money for seasons two and three when they were in syndication. Yeah. So it wasn't all like,
and they only get it for, they only would get it for the first couple of repeats.
Correct. And the reason why his character was killed off was the network, CBS, was so mad at him for leaving.
They didn't want him to come
back.
They
said, you called Gene Reynolds and Gelbart and said, the producers, they said, you make sure he's not going to just take that character and go on NBC and do, hey, it's the Henry Blake show.
Right, right.
So that's why they killed off Henry Blake. Which
you
could
tell there would be an element of vindictiveness in that. Yeah.
And he found out this years later that Gene Reynolds, the producer, went to CBS and said, look, he's on the show, he's part of the ensemble, he's only getting $17.50 a week. What could we do to increase his salary?
Right.
And they were working on bringing him $7,500 a week, which I guess was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
And he didn't know about this till years later, and the network wouldn't do it.
But
so
I
that's
remember
why he left.
Whenever anybody would like Columbo, Peter Falk was famous for having walked off the set.
Johnny Carson, all those guys.
But I mean, those guys were looking out for themselves.
Yeah.
And you can look back and go, it's just like, I mean, I always felt like if someone's willing to bet on themselves, you know, and somebody's willing to pay it, great for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so's making a bigger page rate than me.
Yeah.
They asked for it or they fought for it or whatever. And that's the thing.
You got to
like,
work on these things.
There were multiple actors who would do that, and the since the media was always controlled by the big companies, the narrative was always like, oh, look at this greedy guy, he's ruining your favorite show by wanting more money. But that's what the world's about, you know?
Yeah. So, no, it was an interesting, it's like an hour long podcast.
And he was an endearing guy. He had like, at the time, he was like one of the highest TVQ ratings.
Yeah, yeah, people liked
audience
his
ratings.
Yeah.
Just like Robert Urich was up there.
Well, he talked about how he didn't realize the show was such a big hit until he went to some radio station like WIRQ in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, meet Henry Blake. And he got paid $1,000 and an all expense paid trip. And he thought it was going to be like 500 people would show up. And when he got to the studio, he said the line went down the street, around the building twice. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, what are all these people here for? They said, they're here to meet you. They ran out of photographs within the first, you know, hour, and they had to go make Xerox copies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally somebody found a photo place open, and they could make more prints. But he said he must have signed 20,000 autographs, and his hand was, you know, bandaged up because he was writing his name so much and stuff. But he said that's the only time he realized how popular the show was. He goes, because you got to understand, he goes, I have a shitty apartment off of Hollywood Boulevard. I go to a studio. You're in a room in a warehouse. You don't know what's happening. That's the world. You come in and out, and that's your life.
Yeah.
And then you don't know how it's affecting the rest of the world. He said, there was 50 TV shows on at the time, and MASH was number 45.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they had reruns
that
they moved it to Saturday night. Yeah. Fred Silverman said, let's put it in between.
It was the big NBC block.
Yeah, CBS. It was
CBS. The
Bob
Sunday,
Newhart,
right.
Carol Burnett, Saturday night, and then it got pulled up.
Yeah.
He said originally MASH was on against Walt Disney on a Sunday night. He said we were working against dinner and Walt Disney because people were having their supper or they were watching Walt Disney.
Right.
They weren't watching MASH.
Yeah.
And then it became a big thing, and then it stayed that way for 11 years. But
no,
he talked about Jackie Cooper. He said one of the worst people he ever worked with was Jack. Art Perry White was a director.
Yeah.
And he said he was not very personable to people at all. He was like, he'd kiss Alan Alda's ass.
Yeah.
But if extras came up to him, they said, oh, what are you, why are you bothering me?
Right.
Talk to the assistant director. Do not waste my time with this. So
Jackie there's always Cooper, a hierarchy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing, though, is that Alan Alda probably made a good amount of money.
Yeah, he said, but at the time, they were just happy to have a job.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, those guys were also, think about why did Trapper John, why did
he
leave? I mean, he left the same thing. He had a TV show on another network.
No. They wanted him to sign a morality clause.
Oh.
And he said, I am not signing this. That was left over from the
Hayes
stuff.
But I'm saying, he did land on a TV show.
He lived on a TV show, but he also became a lot of money in real estate.
Yeah.
Wayne Rogers.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
I'm just
successful.
Saying, like, you can't blame somebody for wanting.
No, I feel bad for Larry Linville. They talked about him. He was Frank Burns.
Yeah.
He had a 5-year contract. He worked it to five years, but they didn't know what to do with his character because once she got engaged, it wasn't the same show, and he would just show up week after week. And he's like, How many times can
but
I play the dumb
guy? That's up to the
guy?
Writers, you know?
Well, they didn't know what to do with him, yeah. So they said, you know what, let's just write you off. And they brought in David Hodgson Stiers, as you might know, is the Martian Manhunter from that shitty Justice League pilot.
I mean, I get it. Again, it's like the comic thing. There's a churning that happens that keeps stuff fresh.
Yeah.
You know, and not always planned, but it happens. And
Gary Berghoff had a thing in his deal. He worked every other show.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that. They said that's why when you watch shows, you'll be like, where's Radar?
Interesting.
The Klingers, because he only worked half the season.
You probably heard about this. You remember, like, the My Three Sons was a huge hit.
And Fred McMurray did stuff one day.
He would film the whole season.
Yeah.
All of his scenes were filmed
and
up front so that he had time to go do movies.
Yeah,
and
what's
stuff.
Up, bud?
Which
I thought Kevin Costner was doing that on Yellowstone.
I think so too.
Is Costner only filming this stuff like 1 week and
then
rest of it?
Yeah, his scenes were always kind of sandboxed.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. You know, like we were talking about that too with the TV shows, the Marvel, whatever.
Yeah.
They're filmed in a totally different way than the old 25-30 episode seasons were. If you have a location, you film all the scenes in that location for all 8 or 10 episodes because the scripts are all pre-written.
Yeah.
And you don't go back and do reshoots because that set's gone or whatever. It's a more economical BBC kind of way of doing stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's probably was a big, I would imagine would have been a big change and a big adjustment for actors because your plan where you don't have any character development naturally.
Right.
You know, you're doing a scene for the last episode or something. You really don't have that journey to play off.
No. You just showed up and read.
So you're much more dependent on scripts.
I saw Chris Evans was at a convention this weekend. We're all set. And he was saying he's not closing the door on the possibility of Captain America coming back. I think he just needed a break, actually.
Well, he went out on a high point, too.
No, he did Knives Out, and he did The Gray Man.
But I'm saying his character had a good ending.
But he's saying there's still other stories.
They could certainly bring him back for, like, one amount of time.
Yeah, you can do that. Thank you. But you could do that quite easily.
Yeah. And it wouldn't diminish whatever he does after, you know?
No.
People still like him.
No.
Went up.
Did it? No. Well, I had three and you had three.
But I'm saying that's more than last time we had
how much was it?
Like 65-ish, so they must have bumped the price of something. How much are the beers, a dollar extra?
$5.50 for that. $6.50. I guess. They're charging more for the stingers. Well, I didn't got plastic. People like to hear this part of the show. I've heard somebody say, I love when you and Jerry discuss the check in the
You want to just take the cash and put the...
I'll take the cash, Jerry.
So 70, how much would you leave?
For you listeners at home right now, 10% would be 7. Half of that would be 350, so 10.50.
I gave you 80.
You gave me 40.
I mean 40.
80.
So
Jerry Ordway is trying to hoodwink Mitch Halleck here with his mustache.
So 85.
So you're talking
about...
So,
okay, so don't
worry, no.
I got singles.
No, it's fine. I got the movie. We got to do that in a couple weeks. Jerry's throwing money at me, ladies and gentlemen. You can't see this now. Moneybags Ordway is just throwing cash down. I light my cigars with those monies, Mitch.
Yeah, those
he doesn't
singles.
Even smoke, which is the weirder thing. He's just lighting cigars and throwing them on the streets.
I've seen this in shows, and it kind of cracks me up.
Well, the people light cigars?
Characters having lighters.
Yes.
But they're not smoking characters, and I'm like, interesting. Because there's a scene in, I watched the season 3 of the Jack Ryan show.
Yeah.
The first two seasons are great. Third one's great, too.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where his boss is meeting with some Russian or whatever.
Right.
And the guy hands him a note, and he takes a lighter out of his pocket, and he burns it. And I'm like, I've never seen him smoking. So it's interesting.
I just carry it to burn letters.
But that would probably be...
That makes sense.
I mean, you might meet up with Frankenstein. You might need that flame to scare him off.
You mean Albert Einstein's little brother, Frank? I heard that as a joke. I couldn't stop laughing.
Einstein.
I said, you ever hear about Albert Einstein's less successful brother, Frank? I go, Frank? Oh, Frank Einstein. How long was that joke floating out in the universe without anybody
Or like the bit on Scrubs with Dr. Acula?
That was Drac.
Remember that? It was Dr. Acula?
No.
They had a running gag where they were talking about doing it'd be so great, it'd be Dr. Acula.
I always loved when Spider-Man 2, he goes, guy named Otto Octavius gets eight arms. Didn't see that coming or something like that. Doc Ock.
Otto Octavius. What's on your agenda?
My agenda today, Jerry, is to, I don't know, I just keep announcing new guests every single day. And these kids, they still want more, Jerry. They're not happy. I go, look, we got Jamal Igo coming. We got Jerry Ordway coming.
Who do you want, sir?
They go, we want more. So I'm giving them more. Roger Moore's ashes will be yeah. there. Demi Moore's ashes will be there. Mary Tyler Moore's ashes will be there. Alan Moore's ashes will be there.
Oh, hey, I want to tell you that.
He's not
dead. I watched
the
movie. Oh. It's on Stars. It's called The Show. And
it's about a comic convention?
Alan Moore wrote it.
Yes.
And Alan Moore is in it.
No, he's not.
He is in it.
As what?
He plays like
a
dream guy who's got like his hair done up in a half moon and he's got glitter makeup on.
Is it really Alan Moore?
Yeah.
Is it recent?
Yeah, it came on 2020. Thank you.
2020?
2020, yeah, yeah. It was interesting.
Did he talk like this?
He does. But it's a pretty funny, interesting concept, because as I was watching it, I was immediately thinking about the scripts of his that I'd worked on.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh.
Oh, wait. He wrote this TV show? Do you think he gave the director? Do you think he gave him pages and pages of detailed scripts?
It's hard to believe he didn't give him
I can't imagine
detail into the background, because the movie opens with a tracking shot from, like, space.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, shoot, I did one of those in a Tom Strong story.
Tracking shot from space?
Well, kind of that long,
like,
tracking.
Zoom in from the stars into the planet?
I was zooming in on
Did he really write
figure.
That?
He wrote the movie. It's very interesting.
What's it
called? It's called
again?
The Show.
The Show.
And the...
Alan Moore.
The lead actor is in the
Go
HBO
ahead.
Max thing that's based on the Cormorant Strike books that were written by Robert Galbraith, but actually J.K. Rowling. So this actor who plays the lead in this, but it's funny. It's weirdly funny, but it's actually
weirdly
enjoyable.
Funny. I did read something last week that I just recalled now because you asked me what I was reading. I read this new book out called Marvel's Value Stamp book, and it was all about the history of the value stamps.
Did you see my letter?
Your letters in there?
Don't they have letters pages
they
in
do.
There?
They have that. The whole thing is a... It starts off with...
Iron Man. I wrote the...
Well, then I got to look it up. You're there. Because it starts off with Roy Thomas saying how Stan went to England and they had a coupon program in 1972 where they were telling kids to, you know, cut out the stamps of you know, the main heroes and you'd mail it in for a poster of Spider-Man. And he said, that's a good idea. Let's steal it. And came back to the United States and told Roy about it. And Roy said... But Stan, they'll ruin their comics. He goes, they could buy two of them. Okay, that makes
sense.
But
now we have a lot of back issues so with those little characters cut out.
Yeah. So he comes up with a value stamp program, and they talk about the merchandise you could have gotten. They show the booklets that you were supposed to tape down all your stamps, like the greenhouse.
Like green stamps.
Green stamps, S&H green stamps. And then they show you the prizes. But the rest of the book is filled with the actual pages from all hundreds of
they're
the
stages.
They're
on
the letter
pages,
pages with the coupon. So if I go back tonight and look it up, I will find young Jerry Ordway's letter in the page with the stamp.
And even reference the tavern in my letter for some reason.
Really?
I don't remember the letter at all.
Do you remember what the stamp was on it?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I just know it was like
Iron Man
number 63.
Well, they show you the cover.
Something.
They say it was from this book.
Maybe 63.
I will go find it.
I was just amused because in my brain,
did you
my
save
letter,
the stamps? Did you cut your books up?
I didn't cut my books
Good.
Up. But I remember in my brain that my letter had appeared much earlier, but then I was thinking about it, and I used to write letters to the editor.
Yeah, I did too.
And
I never
wrote,
got one published.
I think I didn't. That was the thing. I think this one was like kind of, it was a lark because I'd figured out some secret villain or something.
Oh.
No, there was like a, and I wanted my no prize because I figured it out, and they had basically said, we've already not mailed it to you, kind of a joking thing.
Oh, all right.
So I never got my no prize.
Bastards.
So Mike Carlin gave me the envelopes when
That's
he was
true.
Moving.
I have a stack of them. I was actually going to create that
Wait,
again.
Wait, I gave you one
you gave
because
me
you
one.
Didn't have one.
I know, you gave me one from your stack.
But I thought you didn't have one.
I didn't have one until you gave me one.
Yeah.
But I was going to come up with a Trivica no prize, but I think some of the kids wouldn't get it. They'd be like, what's going on? I got an envelope with nothing inside.
It's a no prize.
It's a no prize. Hanging on your wall.
I mean, it's kind of clever. Even thinking about
the
it
The local
now.
Radio station did it, too. WPLR did your certificate of nothing.
Yeah.
And I got it from the wig master, and it was just a nice little certificate that said, this certifies that you have received nothing from us. And I hung it up, and I was like, that was your certificate of nothing. I had it for years. But people didn't get the joke. They expect, like, well, don't I get a t-shirt? No. You got nothing. And you're going to like it.
Well, shut up. You'll be happy with it.
So I've been reading that book. It's a nice, it's a well-done book. I got it for, like, only $23. It's hardcover. It's really thick.
When did it come out?
It came out. They only, of course, our Cape Commons bought one copy of it.
But how long ago?
2 weeks ago.
Oh,
I walked in and I said, hey, what's this? They go, history no prize. I go, you didn't buy more copies? They go, no. I go, okay. So I bought one. $23, buy it. It's like that little piece of Marvel history.
Yeah, somebody took a screenshot of the page and posted it to, on Twitter to me.
Oh.
And I saw it and I'm like, well, clearly it's me. They would have had to know my address.
I like when Marvel used to do that. I like Foom. They had all those ads, the Marvel Marvel Mania. They had all the ads from the t-shirts.
Were
the
you a member? You was too
I was a member
you,
of
right?
Foom, I think, towards the end.
That was the one that Sorenko ran.
Yeah, and then I did Wham.
Yeah, Marvel Mania was cool. I was too young for the Mary Marvel Marching Society.
I still have my welcome.
But Marvel Mania was like 1970, 71 or something.
DC had nothing like that?
They had the DC
Presents.
The Wonderful World of DC.
Yeah, that magazine. But did you get anything with a kit? Did you get like a sticker?
No, I think it was just the magazine.
Oh, the
it
hell
was
with
a subscription.
That.
It was kind of like a fan-oriented.
Did they have t-shirts where the kids can mail and get
I
a Spider-Man t-shirt?
I do not recall that.
I did see something on a comic show a week ago that I was going to tell you about.
Uh-oh.
It was a little brochure that came inside Blue Ribbon Bread.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And there was Superman on it. And it was like a pamphlet. And it said, hey, kids, mail this in for $1.50. You could got a Superman t-shirt.
Oh, cool.
Which was white with the Superman logo.
Yeah.
But then there was like a little puzzle in it. It was like a trifold document that was inside bread.
From the 50s?
From the 70s.
Oh.
And it said, this is the Superman fan club or something like that. And I go, I asked the guy how much was the pamphlet. It was $20. I go, I'm going to pay $20 for a piece of Xerox paper
that's
folded up that was smells like bread. I bet if I go online, I could get it for free. But anyway, I saw that last week, and I thought of you, and I said, I wonder if Jerry ever came across the Blue Ribbon Bread.
At one of those, when they used to have...
In fact, I took a picture of it.
You remember when they used to have, like, in the early 2000s, they would do a Sunday comic type show in the...
A Sunday comic show?
In the Connecticut Post Mall. I mean, in the Trumbull Mall.
They used to have, like, comics? I remember they used to have, like, little things.
Like, in the hallways or whatever. They would have vendors set up.
Yes, I do. Danbury Mall had that too.
They did that like in 2001 or something. When we first moved to Easton, I think. And
yeah.
They brought the kids one time, or Rachel and Tommy, I think.
Right.
And someone had a display, and he had Superman. It was like Superman cereal.
Yes.
From the George Reeves era of Superman. And they had Superman bread. And it was like the plastic bread bag with Superman on it, but it was like Wonder Bread or something.
I did not.
And I remember always that sticking in my head, like, wow, is there actually a loaf of stale bread in that bag?
I just realized I did not take a picture of this thing.
That's crazy.
Superman Blue Ribbon Bread.
But I do still have my Superman peanut butter.
Yes, with the peanut butter.
Or no, I have the Batman peanut butter. I have the Superman empty
still
jar.
Still sealed? Oh.
The Batman is still peanut butter in the jar.
Eaten by Silverfish.
No, it's still sealed. Never been opened.
Oh.
And I have my Three Stooges beer in the basement.
That's true.
Curly beer and Three Stooges beer.
That has real
from 2001.
Hair of Larry Fine in it. We were doing a whole talk about the Marx Brothers last week in the comic store. Those never-ending hour-long conversations at the comic store about random nothing. And somebody walked in, Dave Lieb said, I just watched Duck Soup for the last night. What? And that began an hour-long conversation about the... comedy masterpiece that was Gummo, who does not appear in any of the movies.
Right.
It was Gummo, Zeppo, Chico, Harpo, and Groucho. But he was like...
Well, which one was the good-looking one? He was in one of the movies.
That was Zeppo.
Was it Zeppo?
Yeah.
He was the...
good-looking is questionable because
no,
they
but
all
he was the
best-looking
of
he
the...
Was the he was the less grotesque-looking.
Those were funny
like
movies.
The Howard family.
They're funny movies.
Moe and Shemp and Curly. And that's it.
They're
very funny movies. Did you watch History of the World Part 2?
I did.
Did you like it?
You know what? It I think when we talked about it last, I had not finished it.
And how did you like it?
I thought that the last two episodes were good.
Yes.
The middle was kind of like, but I think it ended well.
Yeah.
And I especially like I thought the Jesus
stuff
was
I give it up for
funny.
A 98-year-old comedian. I'm like, that he did this.
Yeah.
Let it go.
No, I thought it was
funny. People were like, wasn't his best. I'm like, he's 98.
Yeah. No, it's the first couple were really good. And then the last couple were really good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of falls in the midst. Just some of those continued sketches were just not funny after a while.
They just kept going, yeah.
But, like, the Ulysses Grant one was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did redeem itself when it was kind of like, where is this going?
Yeah.
You know, the guy's putting on the show or whatever.
I'm trying to think what else I watched.
I did like the Curb Your Enthusiasm thing.
I watched the end of Shrinking with Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
That ended fine. It was funny to watch him as a comedic role. You know what? Speaking of that, they just announced yesterday that on May 18th, the film that's going to open this year's Cannes Film Festival will be Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Now, that's May 18th. The film doesn't open to the rest of the world till June 30th.
Right, how many spoilers?
How many spoilers will be ruined by May 19th?
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, really?
Yeah.
6 weeks before the movie opens?
They're doing like a big retrospective thing for him at the thing. So.
Oh, for Harrison?
Yeah.
Oh, are they?
He's going to get like a lifetime achievement thing. So.
Well, you know that movie's going to get just... If I can't buy that on the streets of New York the next day, it'll be like something's went wrong.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
So it's really going to be like Fast and Furious as far as the amount of movies, not considering Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But
are we going to have like a roller coaster of films coming out?
I think next, is it this weekend that the Mario movie opens?
Yeah, I think it opened already, right?
No, that was the
Friday?
Dragons last week. So Mario.
Dungeons Dragons, then Mario. And the week before was John Wick. Then it was Dragons.
Right, but
this week it's Mario.
This is Mario.
And then the next big one is, I don't know what. Then we got Guardians on May 3rd.
Well, I think the Fast and Furious.
No, that's going to be May. I thought that was May. That's in April? Fast and Furious 10?
Maybe not.
And then somewhere in there you're going to have... Oh, Blue Beetle's in August.
Yeah.
They pushed that to August.
Yeah.
June is going to be insane.
That's
you've
the
got
Flash.
Spider-Man Across the Universe 2.
Right.
Yeah, Spider-Verse.
When is Flash?
Flash is June 18th, 20th,
something
like that. Indiana Jones is the end of the month. They moved Marvel's out till November because they were like, there's just too many movies.
Yeah.
And then there's The Little Mermaid's coming out in May. That's going to be a big box office hit.
Oh, that's funny. I just read this. This will crack you up. Did you ever see Moana?
They're making a live action.
And Dwayne
didn't
is
it just
still
come
part
out a couple
it.
Years ago?
I'm like, that feels like there's not enough time for nostalgia.
Like, yeah, I'm like, that just came out.
That seems like a stretch.
Yeah, well, he's going to make Superman appear in the end of it, which I heard. Henry Cavill's like,
Henry
I don't know.
Cavill.
Well, the phone rang. I did see Tom Cruise taking Haley Atwell and the rest of them up to the North Pole to film scenes for the last Mission Impossible film. I go, does he not care that these people are going to die? I mean, they're literally in the North Pole. And there's Cruise. I'm swimming underwater.
I was watching something.
He's off to the moon, you know.
I honestly can't remember what it was. I watched so much stuff in the last couple
really?
Of
really?
It was.
I've been traveling, so I missed it.
We watched Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder.
Oh, that's a good one.
And
I never watched the Johnny Depp one.
We watched it, but I'd never really watched because the Gene Wilder one would when the kids were little.
Right.
They
I saw that in
lot.
The theaters actually, 1971.
And I thought it was actually really good. It's low budget.
Yeah, it is.
But it's all practical effects, and I loved the beginning of it. I never. Where
How about
he does,
the Charlie
he
comes Factory?
Comes out with the cane.
Yeah.
And he does the really painful walk, and then the cane gets stuck, and everybody knows the cane sitting there, and he does a full. And rolls and comes up.
Yeah.
And according to the extras, he said that was his bit. And he said, I'll do the movie if you let me do this. Because what his point was, you will never believe anything he says after this.
Yeah.
So he was basically setting up that this character may not be telling the whole truth.
Yeah.
But I liked it. But one of the things that occurred to me is there was another movie we watched. I can't remember what it was.
Three Days of the Condor.
No, but it was something. And the actor... The lead actor was clearly doing stunts, and I was kind of like going, whoa. I mean, it wasn't like he was jumping out of an airplane.
Roger
this was
Moore.
Somebody doing jumps and stuff where it was clearly him, not like a stand-in.
Yeah.
And I was like thinking, well, that's what people did. It's before the stakes got so high, too.
Yeah, insurance companies.
It's like, I can do a flip.
Yeah.
I'm 30-some years old. I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
It was just kind of interesting. Everything seems like people always want to make, this is the first time any of this has happened.
No.
And you always go back
and go, Harold Lloyd used to hang off the side of buildings and stuff and film himself,
Well, Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton,
the thing with the building falling, the front of the building, or him sitting on the train as the thing was going. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Back in the day, they did that stuff. They didn't know any better. They were all high on cocaine. Didn't you see the movie Babylon? They were all out of their minds on the blow. The junk, the kids, you know, the H. Smack, horse.
Hey, we played horse when we were kids.
I think
it involved the basketball.
Oh. That is what it is. You know Dr. Frank Field turned 100 years old?
Wow.
For people listening that don't know who that is,
he
was the weatherman on Channel 4. He was the first meteorologist ever in TV history after the World War II. He was in World War II. He was on WRCA, which becomes WNBC.
But he didn't retire until
just 10 years ago. Yeah. And he had his son, Stormfield.
Stormfield's still on. He's still on CBS or something?
So Dr. Frank Field turned 100 yesterday. Wow. I was like, wow, I thought he was dead. You know who else is not dead, but people think? Shirley Jones celebrated her birthday.
Like
I thought she was gone, too. Yeah. And then not only that, let's go one more who's still breathing. John Astin. Yes, 93, the original Joker, or the second Joker on the Batman.
And
Gomez Adams.
From Adams family.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's still with
us. That's kind of crazy.
Right? I should bring these people to Terrificon, and then they won't be back.
Yeah. Well, you want to kill them?
Yeah. I have that thing, Jerry. I'm a serial killer.
How old is Mel Brooks? He is like
98.
90, is he that old?
96, 98. Wow. Something like that. Once you get over 90, Jerry, it's all...
Somebody just died at 100.
George Burns?
No, but somebody was...
Bob Hope.
I was like surprised. No, recently.
You're like, that guy?
I was like, holy crap.
Well, there you go. I got nothing. When's your Mandalorian covers ever coming out? Soon?
They solicit so far in advance. Well, mine is issue 2 of season 2 of
the
comic,
and
apparently the last issue of season 1 came out or was solicited. So, but my 4 Star Wars don't come out until the summer.
Yeah.
So they're all 4 in the same month.
Oh, that's right. Oh, for May, because it's the 40th anniversary.
I think they don't come out until...
May 25th?
Maybe. And
that's when the anniversary would be.
But wouldn't they have been solicited by now?
I think I got the new previews. It might be in that one. I got it last week before I left. I haven't read it. But anyway, that'll be coming soon. See, kids, you can see Jerry Ordway live in person on May 6th on Free Comic Book Day.
And I did get script for JSA number 4.
There you go. That's coming out.
I got 2 pages, which is fine because I don't feel under the gun.
We'll be at Cave Comics. I'll be there selling tickets for Terrificon.
Free Comic Day.
In Newtown, Connecticut on Free Comic Day Saturday.
I'll bring my prints.
He's bringing his
prints. And my own self-published comics.
I'll be bringing myself and my... My merry band of
helpers. Are you
going to
bring any Star Wars characters?
I might. I might ask some people to show up in costume. Jabba the Hutt will be there.
Are you? Did you get your Uncle Terrificon costume?
Not
made
yet. No.
I do think that would be funny.
I should dress as Uncle.
Will you be like Les Tremaine? You could have the mustache.
I have the mustache.
You could be Les Tremaine.
Yeah. Shazam! I can't believe that movie didn't do well.
Yeah, it is.
I would book Mary Marvel tomorrow. I thought she was in Cat's Pajamas, but.
I can't do it.
I can't. My mouth's dry.
I drank my beer so long ago.
There's so much antihistamine, it's like dried out my head. I feel like a mummy's tomb in here.
So, I'm going to give a thumbs up to...
To who?
To paint.
Paint?
Yes.
Like stuff you put on walls?
I was painting my son's bedroom.
We're really desperate. Yeah.
No, listen to this. I was trying to use up old paint for the ceiling.
Yeah.
So I had like ceiling paint from maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Opened it up, still looked good.
Yeah.
It was good. Poured it into the can, mixed it up. That stuff was so smelly. And the stuff that I bought for the walls is low odor. And it's like, oh my God, it's such a big... So what is it? The science is great.
You wrote Dr. Pepper.
Oh my God. The ceiling paint, I was high. I mean, it was so... You remember the old days where you'd paint and you'd be like
windows.
Having to open the windows and stuff? I was just amazed at how... And again, there's a thumbs up for technology.
Did you go to the quantum realm?
It wasn't as bad as sitting in the theater with the pots.
The stoners. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think my mask absorbed from so breathing in. It absorbed the smell of pot, so it still smelled of pot until I threw it away.
Jerry's hot box and pot smoke. See that, kids? Don't do paint.
Yeah.
Are you huffing paint fumes now, Jerry?
It's latex paint, but it was so odoriferous, it was quite strong.
There you go. I don't have anything to top smelling paint fumes. No, I got nothing.
So I painted my dining room. This all started in February.
You started the kids' bedroom, the dining room?
I started in the dining room. This is like rooms that have never been painted.
At least we did our kitchen. I'm sure that's something.
They've never been painted. We've been there since 2000, and I guess
since
2000,
yeah.
November 2000.
23 years.
So the dining room, I had to fix cracks in the walls.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a flag going by.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
I just saw a giant American flag go by the window. Did they land on the moon?
Maybe. We're on the moon. Colony's first moon.
I saw that they're having that. Yeah. So what else? You painted the bathroom, the bedroom,
so
the dining room.
I painted the dining room.
Yeah.
Then I painted the hallway where I did a lot of major repairs because walls had cracks that had been there for 20 years.
Yep.
I marked them off to make sure they weren't getting worse. And I said, 20 years, they haven't moved. Time to fix them. And then I went and painted my son's bedroom. I was telling you about this earlier.
Yeah, the flames.
When he was like a little kid and he first inherited that room, he decided he wanted flames on the wall. So I painted these really elaborate, very cartoon realistic flames.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to roll over with the paint color. And I was feeling a little bit
pangs
sad.
Of sadness, yes.
Not just covering artwork, but remembering how he and I had worked on painting his room. So life goes on, times change, and now you're dealing with it.
Yes, I am. So. I'm dealing with it right now. But thank God I can breathe in paint fumes available right now.
You can buy low-odor paint
from
Home Depot.
It's not the same thing.
Is that a sponsor?
No, I should get sponsors.
We could get free paint.
We're sponsored by pizza. And
it's like $35 a gallon.
Cardiologist.
I need free paint.
Yeah, I'll be pumping my heart soon enough. I'm trying to lose weight. I got my 30th anniversary. I want to fit in my wedding gown.
How have you done?
Not too good. And I don't wear wedding dresses, so say yes to the dress.
But have you tried, or just...
I tried when I walked in here, Jerry, but that didn't work out well. I said, I'm not eating pizza.
I mean, we haven't had
pizza
since Shazam was almost...
Yeah, but then I was at the Mohegan Sun, and it sucks when you go out, because they don't have, like, low... My wife goes, you don't have to eat. I go, well, what am I supposed to do, sit there? The waitress would get mad if I just sat here without food.
You have to have a salad.
I could have a salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't know. We'll see. I walk the dog, but it's like allergy season, so I walk outside. I'm like Darth Vader.
Can you wear your mask?
No.
That would help, wouldn't it?
I'm not wearing my mask walking my dog in the woods. People will laugh. The squirrels will throw nuts at me. They'll
but
be like, what is wrong with you?
When COVID first happened.
You were happy
and
because?
COVID first happened and we all had masks. I went out and cut my grass. I wore a mask
and, like,
and I was like,
God.
Every year in the spring when I cut the first grass, it's
sneeze,
weeds and stuff.
Yeah.
My eyes are running and everything. So I was like, by wearing the mask, I eliminated most of
really?
My. So now I wear the mask when I go out and work in the yard.
I just like suffering. Suffering succotash, Jerry. Suffering succotash.
Well, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah. That's it. How long has it been? Oh, my God. It's an hour and a half. These people, they don't pay for this.
They don't.
There's only one guy listening. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Is that who's listening?
Yeah. He gets a little
Our
thrill out
listener.
Of that. Our one. Scott Martin. How are you? Wayne. A couple other people out there. A couple of prisoners.
Yeah.
By the way, I hope the parole board cuts your break this year. Let you out. You deserve it. America, we're sorry.
Is this the podcast where we reveal information that gets people out of prison?
UConn won the men's basketball championship last night.
That's cool.
I don't know anything about it.
That's cool.
And you know
what's funny?
Tell me.
Our local newspaper
did not put it on the front page.
Did not have it in there because they're no longer printed locally. They're printed in Albany.
Are you
serious? So their press time is like 5 in the afternoon.
The Connecticut Post didn't have it on the headline?
You get everything 2 days late.
Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I woke up, I was like, isn't that like on all the news? But whatever. All right, that's it. Wrap it up. Go buy comics.
Gracie.
Buy tickets. Goodbye.